It's a humanitarian crisis of epic proportions. Nearly 1 million people have fled Sudan after fighting broke out in the northeastern African country in mid-April. Millions are displaced within Sudan, but for those who've been able to leave, the biggest group, at least 400,000, have crossed into neighboring Chad, forming an enormous and growing makeshift camp. Last week, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, visited that site near the Chad-Sudan border. Our colleague Michelle Martin went along.
I'm in Chad, but I cross here, I'm in Sudan.
The ambassador made it clear that her trip had two objectives. First, to demonstrate the U.S. government's concern about conditions there, but also to try to throw a bigger international spotlight on the crisis. That's why she invited journalists to accompany her, so we could see the situation for ourselves. From Washington, that meant multiple flights, a nearly hour-long helicopter ride, and further travel over land. And what we saw was devastating. Families arriving on foot, on the back of a donkey or on a horse-drawn cart, some by car or truck. Some arrived with only the clothes they were wearing or belongings stuffed into bags. Some have household goods piled around them, family members holding on. At this particular border crossing near a village in Chad called Adre, relief workers said the flow of refugees had slowed in part because heavy rains had made the roads harder to travel, but at times as many as 2,000 people a day have been crossing from Sudan. We met one man, Salah Ahmed Omer, who told us he fled Sudan with his family after they were threatened by armed rebels.
They enter our home by gun, frighten the women. I built all my life and did my best and forced it to leave my house.
Omer said he could no longer tell who was on which side, so he couldn't figure out how to protect his family. Others, speaking through interpreters, gave similar accounts of watching their homes and businesses destroyed, no reason given. Sudan has seen conflict on and off for decades, but the most recent fighting is between the Sudanese armed forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces over territory and control. At least 4,000 people have been killed since April, but the actual death toll is expected to be much higher. Back in the U.S., heads of state and top diplomats are expected in New York next week for their annual gathering at the United Nations. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. representative to the UN, said she intends to keep the spotlight on Sudan.
The situation in Sudan has to be on the agenda, and we have to engage with the parties on that. So my purpose is to bring this to a high-level week, to get the parties to come together, to talk about what the solutions are, and actually forge a way forward. And that's a tall order, but it's something that I think is intensely important for us to do.
That remains a concern because only about a quarter of the funding the UN has requested to respond to Sudan has been delivered. But just why this crisis has struggled to capture the world's attention is difficult to say. Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, told us he thinks it could be the sheer number of crises going on in the world right now.
You know, I hate this word, but unfortunately it's real. There is fatigue. There are too many humanitarian crises. COVID and Ukraine have absorbed a great deal of resources. And let me be very clear. I'm not criticizing the fact that those crises needed a response. And actually, Ukraine continues to need a response. But the fact is that public spending has gone through the roof. And unfortunately, when it comes to cutting public spending, overseas aid is often the first victim.
The situation here in Chad demands that we be here, demand that we amplify what is a critical humanitarian and human rights situation.
That's Ambassador Thomas-Greenfield again. Thomas-Greenfield is a career diplomat with a long history in refugee relief and in Africa. She was actually serving in Rwanda when the genocide began in the mid-1990s. And she says this current crisis is among the worst that she has seen.
There are days in a life that you know, as they're unfolding, will stay with you forever. And that will haunt you forever. And today, for me, was one of those days. Today, I saw people on the brink of death, including young children.
While in Adre, Thomas-Greenfield visited a field hospital and spoke with refugees as well as those offering support. What struck her most, she said, was not the harsh conditions. It was something else.
The lack of hope. the fear that people express to me as I spoke to them about why they were crossing the border, seeing children in the hospital who were malnourished, and seeing the amazing but desperate work that was being done by UN and NGO humanitarian workers to save lives. It was extraordinarily emotional, and it was extraordinarily sad.
The U.S. last week announced an additional $163 million in humanitarian assistance for Chad, Sudan, and neighboring countries. This brings Washington's total commitment to respond to the Sudan emergency to nearly $710 million for this fiscal year. But as UN Commissioner Grandi told us, emergency aid alone is not enough.
This issue of people on the move, be they refugees or economic migrants or people moving because of climate factors and so forth, they cannot become a visible crisis only when they reach the borders of rich countries, be it the United States or the European countries. If you don't address everything upstream, you will continue to have, because movement is inevitable in the present circumstances. So this is really should be a call for more investments, development investments, but also humanitarian ones, upstream and upstream.
The UN estimates that hundreds of thousands more people are likely to cross into Chad as the year goes on, bringing the total number of refugees in the country to 600,000, a crisis that is not likely to end until the fighting does. And there's no end to that in sight.